And many of you know my history with regard to the nations. I don't go anywhere haphazardly. I always really make sure that I feel the Lord's leading. And when I go, I just hate to be a tourist, even if it's Israel, you know. And so I just don't like it. I always like to go do something, because in the nations there's so much amazing activity happening. There's always something happening. So even when I went, we went on our way through France, and even when I went to France, I found somebody that we knew from the past and visited their ministry. And then we got to Israel, and there's only two people. We've had three or four from Israel speak here, but there's two who are put on my mind. It turns out they're good friends, which is really awesome. One is named Israel, in Israel, interestingly enough. And that was an amazing experience, just to be with him. And then Karen, who is not only an amazing experience, but maybe one of the most unusual people I've ever met. And that, you know, I've showed you quite a few unusual people through the years. When I say she's one of the most unusual, she's one of the most unusual. One of the bravest people I've ever met. One of the most unusual people I've ever met. She was here one time, and last time she was here, remember, she's the lady with the gavel that kept banging the gavel down. Remember that? How many remember that? And she was here. That's awesome. And so God sent her to Israel, and through an amazing series of circumstances, but she decided to set up camp in the Palestinian area. So she lived in the Palestinian area for years, and got firebombed 7 or 8. I don't know. You lost probably track of how many times you got firebombed. And then out, they burn her out, and out, and she had her son with her, and then she'd go back in. They burn her out, and she'd go back in. Well, anyway, somehow or another, I think she created, by God's grace, a space, you know, spiritual space, spiritual territory, authority, maybe we could say it that way, right? Over that, in that area. So, and then over into Gaza as well. It's spread into Gaza as well, which is, you've evidently got something new to tell us about Gaza, right? Because you told me. She doesn't have a good memory, but everything else is good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm saying that about me. That's the one. Anyway, so, but I wanted to just give you a little background, just in case she doesn't say it. The most amazing thing was, so she just sort of been following the pure leading of the Holy Spirit. She actually is in what do we call that? Not an Arabic neighborhood. Would you say it? Arab? What do you call it? Palestinian neighborhood? No, it's on the... Yeah, it's not in the western, it's not where all the safer places are anyway. It's right near the, yeah, huh? Islamic. It's an Islamic neighborhood, yeah. So anyway, so we went to visit her there, and they are always having trouble, so I can't remember how long ago this was, but the amazing thing is she had this facility right there in the middle of this neighborhood. When that huge, when was the huge uprising where all the things were going crazy? I mean, when I say that about Israel, you know, it's like, take your pick. But the one where you had to protect your property, yeah, when they tried to kill you, yes. Yeah, they tried to kill her, you know, and she was holding up her little banner. We have those banners around, in case you wonder why. She had this banner, and she's holding it up in the street. You can tell the story. But anyway, tell them that they can't have her house. They can't have her building, you know. She saved some guy that owns a building a lot of money, because when they take your building, they take your building. And that's just one of all. And then she got knocked out cold and went to be a Jesus for a while, came back, and all kinds of, but anyway, she's got a lot of one testimony after another like that. But I think the thing is, the amazing thing is, I'm always very sensitive to people that are interested in planting churches. And hers are a different variety. She figured out that actually Koreans work very well. Am I allowed to say this? Yeah. Koreans work out really well on the West Bank. So she sends Korean families in to plant churches all up and down the West Bank. Isn't that amazing? And I met a couple of them when I was there. Amazing. I mean, they're full-on families. They're not like, they don't have like army boots. And I mean, they're just in there, and their kids are on the Palestinian buses going to school and everything. And so she's just gone right into the teeth of that conflict. And she's got Jews and Arabs and everybody all worshiping together in this place. It's just really remarkable what's happened. And all kinds of other things that she can describe and explain. But I just want to know, I really respect and honor. I thank you. It's an honor for us to have you here, Karen. We really appreciate it. And by God's grace, maybe there'll be a time when we'll send a team there. Janice and I went and just kept avoiding places where people are getting knifed. It was crazy. But it really wasn't. If you have a group, it's not. I got to tell you this real fast, because I want to take a group sometime, and I don't want you to be terrified to go. So anyway, because it's really kind of... It's like that on the television and everything, but when you're there, to me, it's not quite the same That's not that dangerous, especially if you have 15 people with you, you know, and everything, so, and hang around the old city. But we probably wouldn't do that. We'd probably go other places. But anyway, so Lord, we just thank you. What's that?
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy and righteous Father, we just thank you tonight. This is all about you, God. And you've got something on your heart that you want to bring down and release right here through this congregation, God. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me and calling me to serve you. To serve you, God, and to sit at your feet and just to go wherever you point. And I thank you, Lord, that there's people sitting here waiting for you to point. And tonight, God, let their hearts be open, God. Let their hearts be open to your voice, God. Lord, let their hearts be open to you, God. Lord, we thank you that our hearts are washed in the blood of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We're debt-free. Debt-free. We stand before the Lord. We present ourselves, Romans 6:13, alive from the dead. Debt-free. Debt-free. Because 2,000 years ago, the wages of sin is death. He paid the price. He paid the price that we are debt free. Debt free we stand before God the Father. We celebrate life from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that that death angel has passed this house over, God. Lord, so much life is springing up in this house, God. Come from the four winds, O breath of God. And blow through this house, God. Let your wind be released, God. And blow through this house. Blow through this tribe, God. Blow through this tribe, God. I thank you, Lord, for the acceleration we can see in this house, God. I thank you, Lord. One plants, one waters, but you give the increase. And it is a season of increase. Increase, says the Spirit of the Lord. Increase, says the Spirit of the Lord, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The best isn't behind you, but in front of you. And the Lord said, just lift your vision higher. Lift your vision higher. God said, some of you got them boxed in by your experience, boxed in by what you know. God said, lift up your vision. Lift up your vision. God wants you to pray bigger. He wants you to ask bigger. He wants you to believe bigger. Not only for your family, for your nation, for your county, for your city. The harvest is ready, says the Spirit of the Lord. Wow, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Debt-free, debt-free. You know, every morning when we meet the Lord in Jerusalem, the city of the great King, we thank the Lord that we're debt-free. Infirmity can't hold you because you're debt-free. Those demons that wake you up and try to speak fear into you or terror into you, they got to let go because you're debt-free. You're debt-free. So whatever Satan brings against you, it's got to let go because he paid the price 2,000 years ago. We're debt free, debt free. And you know, if you've ever had a lot of debt, you know what it's like to be debt free. He paid the price and we are so thankful. And so Lord, we just thank you. Lord, there's so many things you've done. What do you want to say tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, as a young girl, I never knew what love was. My mom and dad used to put me in orphanages, and they didn't love me. Nobody picked me to be on a team in high school. And my dad used to beat me till I was, you know, you'd think he was trying to kill me. I would be just covered with bruises. And so I was very, very much unloved, and as a young girl did drugs and partied and had a very, very wild life. And then I went to prison. I went to prison for selling drugs. And when I come out of the prison, I thought, well, I don't really want to go back to prison. So I thought, I'm going to make money. And I made a lot of money. Drove a Mercedes, had 40, 50 houses, you know, had the motorhome, the boat, the car, whatever money can buy, lots of parties, met lots of devils. I knew Satan was real. And I thought about Jesus Christ, but I had never met any of you people, never had been into a church. And so I'm 40 years old, and I'm thinking, I didn't need a preacher to tell me I was going to hell. I knew where I was going. I knew one day I was going to burn. And so then these lawyers were manipulating case files in the public courthouse. Back then, you could take the file home. And I had real estate. And in error, they sold one of my houses at a sheriff's auction with no mortgage on it. So I made this big file against these lawyers and found out they were stealing shopping centers, probate, big racketeering. I thought, well, I'm going to really fix these guys. So I went and turned them into the FBI. Next thing I know, I had the mafia after me. And they wired me, gassed me, terrorized me. I mean, they absolutely terrorized me, poisoned me. And our hair was, my son and my, our hair was falling out. It was like we were eating rat poison. And so one day, my sister-in-law says, I think Jesus will help you. And I thought, Jesus, how's Jesus going to help me? I'm in big trouble. I was sleeping with two loaded guns. Okay? And so what happens is, she said, no, if you get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your heart, for sure he's going to help you. So my son and I, you know, our teeth are rattling. I mean, we had so much fear in us. We were getting adrenaline rushes off the fear. I mean, we were just so messed up. And so what happened is we dropped to our knees, asked Jesus into our heart, and immediately the peace of God fell on me. Now, I thought for sure the mafia would still kill me. I thought, well, they're going to kill me, but I know where I'm going. And this is what the Lord gave me. Revelation 17, let's see, 17:14. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Those with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now, could you imagine all your life never being picked for nothing? And then all of a sudden, you've got the God of the universe. He's making himself visible. I can see him. I can smell him. He's speaking to me. I can hear his voice. And he's saying, I've chosen you. It was like being healed immediately. It's that love just washed over you. Waterfalls of love. Just waterfalls of love as you locked eyes with the King of Glory. And I thought, wow, nobody ever taught me. I couldn't see him. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't walk with him. That he wasn't the greatest adventure on the planet. I mean, God is amazing. And so he picked me up in his arms and he carried me into his bridal chamber. And he never brought me back out. How's that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is awesome. He's alive. And he made a full reconciliation with my mother and father. I love my mother and father. Wouldn't trade them for any mother and father in the world. That's who God gave me. I honor them and I love them. But through the blood of Jesus, it is the blood of reconciliation. God just puts your family back together, your marriages, your those broken things, those relatives that beat you up years ago or abused you. The blood has the power to bring it all back together. And I am so thankful just knowing God. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's what I want to talk to you. So off I go immediately. I'm like, I'm going to serve you forever. I'm in the greatest army. I'm in the elite army. And God's telling me he never loses. Whoa. Whoa. So I go from a loser to a winner overnight through the power of Jesus Christ. So I just can't wait to work for him. Do you know, I was in a Southern Baptist church, got baptized. I used to sit outside and smoke, waiting for everybody to get to church. I'd be out there 45 minutes early, saying, Lord, where are the people at? And I'd be out there smoking, couldn't wait for the people to get to church. Thinking they're sinners because they're making me wait out there for so long, you know? Anyway, those were the days. And so I went from there and started feeding the poor, started feeding the poor right away. Ended up in Wales a couple years preaching on the streets at 9/11. I flew out of New York. You know what happened? The Twin Towers go down. And I was taken into quarantine as soon as I got to Wales, as soon as I got to London. And they said, no, we're not letting you in the country. I mean, I was refused entry. All kinds of things happened. Everything changed on 9/11. So I come back to the United States, and then I take the call to Israel. I go into the refugee camp. Now, I don't know too much about anything, but I know who God is. And I know who Jesus is. So I bring about 15,000 gospel tracts into Jericho refugee camp. I'm sitting in this refugee camp. I can't tell you, but I want to thank some of you that are here that visited me in Jericho in those rough days. They were pitiful, weren't they? We didn't know if we were going to get blown up again or the car's blown up. The houses are on fire. But I want to tell you about, one fire that was, when you have fire, the problem is everything's black, and then it gets in your fingernails. I had so many fires, I know I can walk through fire and not get burnt. I know that. But the problem is cleaning the walls and dragging all the burnt furniture out and all this kind of stuff. So the last fire, I'm going to tell you about the last big fire, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm so tired of fires. And the Lord said, you've been found worthy to suffer for the gospel. And so this fire came in, and this was one of the hottest, worst fires. I already got my car sitting outside blown up. It sticks. It just sticks. And I had it chained to the fence because I was going to try to sell it. I had to end up giving it away. Because, there's no money in a burn-up car. The guys told me in the room. That's another story for another day anyway. But anyway, this fire came through. The refrigerator melted, the air conditioning on the wall, everything melted. It was so hot. And I only had two volunteers then. Now, right now, we have between 40 and 50 all the time on one-year visas. But back then, there was only two. Nobody would give me any volunteers, Pastor, because it was too rough, too many fires. So what happens is the fire comes in, and the two are screaming, fire. So I'm walking through the fire, and I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, what is it? What is it you want to teach me that I'm just not learning? So I'm going through, and the Lord says, lift your hands and give me praise. And I want you to praise me when the walls are falling down. I want you to praise me when the car's blowing up. I want you to praise me from that low place. And I began praising him. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The police come. They thought we were drunk because we're out there just praising God, giving him glory. And there's nothing left. And I want to tell you, that was my last fire in the city of Jericho. Hallelujah. I learned, praise him. Praise him. So from Jericho, I'm not going to tell you the story tonight, but my son, the Israeli army said, okay, you have to move to Jerusalem. And they said, you've been here in Jericho for 5 years. The stronghold of Tyre has fallen. They said, now go to Jerusalem, you're a partner with Israel, and do what you did in Jericho in the other refugee camps. They gave us a political status, and that's how we get those visas, all right? And so off to Jerusalem we were going. Before I go, my son gets run over by a semi-truck. And I want to tell you, you can know when you're about to break through into the biggest breakthrough God has for you is when hell comes after you. When Satan starts throwing stones and bombs, I'm like, whoa, whoa, I can smell God. He must be coming closer. And I finally figured that out after the trials. When they come in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to lift you up and you're going to ride out in a new standard. So my son is in London. They say he's going to die. I got to go there immediately. And so he's, to make a really long story short, I ended up, he was in a coma. They said he would never wake up, and I prophesied, all is well, all is well, all is well, like the Shulamite lady in 2 Kings 4. All is well, all is well, all is well. You will live and not die. So day after day after day until he woke up. Hallelujah. He woke up. But I had a big problem. He was like a piece of spaghetti, you know? And I was pushing him around in this wheelchair, trying to be a really good mom, you know, pushing him outside, down, go here, mom, go there, pushing him, you know, and it's like, wow, how am I going to bring him back to Israel? You know, the Israel is surrounded by seven mountains, up and down the mountains of Israel with a wheelchair. And so I was really provoked. And this is something God taught me. And many of us stop in the middle of the mountain. And God said, don't stop in the middle of the mountain because I've got more for you. And so I'm really being provoked and I'm like, Lord, for sure, you raised him from the dead. You can give him back his legs. And they said it'd be years of therapy and he'd probably never walk. And so we're sitting in the hospital room. His two young friends come in and Blake says, I need to go to the bathroom, Mom. And I looked at his friends. I said, would you walk my son to the bathroom? And my son looked at me and says, Mama, can I walk? I says, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can walk. He shot up out of that wheelchair. 2 weeks later, we walked out of that hospital. The God that I serve is a resurrection God. He raises the dead. I'm convinced he rescues. He rescues. I think personally my call on the earth is to let God rescue me. That's how many times I've been down. So I want to tell you, so I have a few years and things are like, I felt like, you know, ankle deep water. I'm just not getting as deep as I want to be. And there's so many things we want to do in the ministry. And it feels like they go to spring forth and then that's it. What happened to the wind? And I'm like, wow, God, you know, what's going on? So I go to Mexico. And this takes a lot of work. I'm in Mexico, a very large church. A young man works his way in. For even the young man to get to me with a translator, I mean, this is a lot of work. And so, because there's a few thousand people here. So he comes up, he says, I got a word for you. He gives me this word. God says, break through, break through. And God said, I kept you humble for 3 years, for 3 years. And I mean, this young guy just like, whoa, what else did he tell you? You know, it's like so amazing. So I call the team in Jerusalem. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Don't worry about anything. We've got a breakthrough coming. We just got the word. We just got the word. Now, you got to remember in Samuel, in the book of Samuel, when King David was anointed king, what's the first thing that happened? The Philistines heard about it and went running after him. And so I don't know how the devil gets wind of it so fast. But I get back to Jerusalem. I'm telling the team, you know, and the word was so heavy. I felt like a different person. I'm like, whoa, we don't have anything to worry about. We got this big breakthrough coming. Next thing I know, right? I wake up in the morning. Here's this Muslim trying to tear the door off my porch. And I'm like, whoa, I go out and I fight him. He goes running down the street. So the next morning I get up and my whole porch, all of the fencing, everything is gone. And I said to the team, I said, excuse me. I said, come out here on the porch. I said, we're in trouble. I said, we need to pray right now. So we're sitting on the porch, right? Well, we're sitting on the porch and we're out there a couple hours. I said, no, no, let's just keep drumming and prophesying and praying. So while we're out there on the porch, they've got tubes going into the church and they're filling it with gas. So I'm sitting on the porch. I got two Jewish orphans with Down syndrome that somebody dropped off at the church a couple years ago because nobody wanted them. And so here, you know, my team looks like grandmas and, you know, one's limping, the other needs hip surgery. I mean, you know, we're not like, no, we don't look like no SWAT team or anything. So anyway, so these guys, so we're sitting on the porch and we're, all of a sudden one of them screams gas. So we run into the church. And we run into the church, they start screaming, we can't breathe, we can't breathe. Pastor, it's a terrible thing to go through when your congregation starts screaming, they can't breathe. And I said, well, it's, so I called the police, and the police said, open the windows, you know, open the windows. And I had the team hid inside the church in the kitchen area. So that begun a declaration of war. And we were gassed. Many, many, many things happened. Many people got hurt. And I tell you what, you don't get too many visitors when militants camp around your building. Sunday service, even though we have a small group, I mean, really dropped down to not too many people at all. And so, and tour groups, they would send me emails. And they'd say, yeah, we were going to come see you, but, you know, my husband feels like it might not be the right time. You know, very nicely. But I want to tell you, the Chinese heard we were having trouble, and they kept increasing their numbers. So what happens is, and I want to tell you, because all of a sudden now I'm supposed to be having a breakthrough, and I've got militants, and I become a prisoner in the church. Every time I stepped outside, they would tell me how they were going to kill me. And I just said, Lord, whatever. If you're going to take me home, just don't do it the way they keep shouting at me. Let me go home with dignity, honor. You know, and sometimes, you know, we know in history, sometimes they kill off the preacher and a big revival breaks out. So I was like, you know, I was asking the Lord. You know, there's quite a few things I thought I had to accomplish, but, you know, and then at my staff house, they start digging a tunnel underneath it. So all these things are happening. They had a bulldozer sitting at my church. And, I mean, these guys, money was behind these guys. The guys that were attacking me were weapons specialists. They had rap sheets, long rap sheets. They had been arrested by the Israeli army. One of them was Arafat security guard. They come from the West Bank. So I said to my son calls me. He said, Mom, I'm very concerned about you. I said, Son, I'm very concerned myself. And he says, I want to do something for you to make you feel better. Now, on one of my walls outside is these ancient stones. All the rest of the porch, the fencing is gone. And if you know anything about graffiti artists, they always like to paint like the 2,000, 3,000-year-old stones. I never let them before. But he said, Adar is coming from Tel Aviv, this young Jewish graffiti artist, and he's going to paint your stones for you, Mom. I said, great. Tell Adar to come. But this is what I asked Adar to paint on the stones. Exodus 12, 23. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the house and smite you. And the Lord also showed me in Hebrews 11, it says Moses in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover. By faith he kept the Passover. and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. So the Lord says, by faith, Karen, you paint those doors. So this graffiti artist painted blood over our doorways. I mean, it just looked like you slaughtered a lamb over it. And over here on this one, he painted a big cross. Out of the cross, blood going over the doors. And then on these ancient stones on our porch, he paints this big banner. All of a sudden, I got the Israeli government. I was having a hard time reaching them. All of a sudden, they're there at my place. The municipality's there. The Muslims are there. The police are there. And they're all just staring like they are shocked. They can't believe it. They can't believe it. And they're staring at the message in the cross, looking at all the blood. And the Muslims are telling them, our children can't sleep anymore. She's a crazy woman. She's painting blood everywhere. And I felt power. I thought, wow, they can't sleep. Okay, God. So what happens is I feel the power. So they go away. I lock my porch. What happens is I'm standing outside. Now the fence is gone, but the banner's there. And I've got this red Yeshua flag. And I'm standing there and I speak to the death angel. And I say, death angel, you better look real close. My house is covered with the blood of Jesus. My heart is covered with the blood of Jesus. You better pass me over. I felt power. So I hadn't been out of my church in months. And it's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, opened the doors. And I thought, I'm going to go in this street with my Yeshua flag. Because I felt power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. So I go out there. Now, all my cameras were already smashed off my building. So the only thing on my building was the militants' cameras. No, everybody was too afraid to get up on a ladder and take them down. Nobody would help us. People would come to try to fix the fence. They'd go out, beat up the driver, steal the tools, steal the fencing. Three times. You know, 5.5 months, we tried to do a lot of things. Especially with me sitting inside being a prisoner. We were always trying to think of ways to, you know, get the fence back up. And I, every morning, I prayed for these militants and did communion. I said, surely the blood is enough for my enemies, God. The blood is enough for my enemies. I unconditionally forgive them. And I said, Lord, we must be out 20,000 by now. You know, with all the damage on the buildings and that, so I had to forgive them for breaking more windows, stealing more things. I watched my car go out on a flatbed. I thought, whoa, there goes another car. You know, so it was a little painful, you know, especially financially. So I just kept breaking bread, doing communion. I thought, I'm just going to keep my heart right. I'm not going to let an ought get in me. Even though I'm a prisoner in this church, and I love the church, but I like to go outside. So this morning, I'm outside Sunday morning waving the flag, Yeshua. So I walk outside the door, I turn around, heading to the double doors, and these men charge me like bulls. Bam, 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 bam. They beat me till there was no breath in me. No breath in me. My head, I heard it crack when I fell on the ground. I thought for sure I was dead. I definitely was out of my body. I was there with the Lord. And so here I am in the air with the Lord. My body's just laying there like a piece of meat. And it's Sunday morning. I'm right in the doorway. You know, nobody, my team was inside. They were too afraid to come outside. And so I'm talking to the Lord, and you wouldn't believe what we were talking about. But I remember very clearly, I said, Lord, the devil is laughing at you. He's laughing at you, and he's laughing at me. I said, we look like losers. And we're laying there Sunday morning, you know, and I'm in there, I'm talking to the Lord. And next thing I know, there's a redhead Israeli that loves Jesus. She come walking outside and she started praying in tongues and circling my body. And all I could hear is like the choir of heaven. I could hear the angels singing. Next thing I know, the power of God hits me. I didn't even know that my wrist is fractured, that I'm bleeding, and I had no pain. The power of God was so heavy on me, I had no pain. Next thing I know, I felt like I shot into the air. I said, give me my flag. They handed me my ripped flag, Yeshua. I go up in front of those cameras. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King. And I'm just shouting in front of the cameras. The men run off the street, really. Disappeared off the street. But I'm in front of those cameras. And finally the police come and I have to go in and do a report. And the police officer looks at me and says, you need to go to the hospital, you know? And I'm so disheveled and bleeding. And I said, well, I feel pretty good, you know? So I go to the hospital. They put a cast on me, you know, and I leave the hospital. I go back to the police officer, and I got the cast. And before I even got back to the church, the Lord said, remove the cast. Now, the Jewish doctor thought I was crazy because he said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why don't you have any pain? And he tried to give me prescriptions for pain pills. I said, look, I feel pretty good. I don't need any pain pills. And so when I got back, the team said, don't take off the cast. You need to wear it in front of the judge. You know, you need to wear it around so people can feel sorry for you. I says, no, that isn't what God's telling me. And I says, we got to take the cast off. So in the morning, we took the cast off, went in front of the camera, waving that. And I said, Lord, they said I needed therapy for my fingers. The Lord said, the only therapy you need is to keep waving that flag. Hallelujah. God is a rescuer. All right, so you would think after you shed some blood, you've been beat up now. Come on. You would think that these guys would just have some kind of compassion and go away. Not these Muslims. They got worse. Oh, they got worse, started attacking the people. They told the orphans they were going to cut their heads off. I mean, they just got wild. And so what happens is every year we got the bring back to Jerusalem movement with the Asian people. So we're supposed to be hosting people, and they're supposed to be coming from America, United Kingdom, different places. About 13 grandmas came from Chicago, but I think it's because they weren't on the internet. So they showed up. The rest of the team all canceled that was supposed to be with them. But most of them were pretty old. And I thought, you ladies don't surf, do you? Because, all right, so they showed up in about 170 Chinese. And they bring these big drums. And they show up at Damascus Gate. And they said, every day we're going to go to the 8 empty gates. And we're going to hit these drums and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they said, for 72 hours, we're not leaving your church. We're going to hit these drums and we're going to prophesy. And they said, Pastor Karen, we know how to take out the dragon. I said, yay. So the Lord gave us 2 Chronicles 20. When Israel was surrounded by her enemy. Now, all this is going on, and you know what the Lord's doing? It's amazing. All over in India and Africa, in a lot of poor churches, 700 churches join themselves now today to us. They're writing, we want to be part of Living Bread. So God just keeps adding churches, adding churches, adding churches to us. So he's building this big army, and they're all praying. Pray for us in Jerusalem. Yeah, for sure you can be part of us and part of our prayer team. Get to work immediately, you know. So God just sovereignly poured out on these poor churches around the world And they were joining us, mainly out of Africa, India, Pakistan, few places like this. And so in a few in America. So what happened? All right, so these churches are joining us, the Chinese there. On day two, the Muslims declare a day of rage against Israel. And they say nobody's allowed in the old city. Now, this is very, very serious, you know, so we realized the spiritual warfare was way up there. And we kept getting prophecies, there's a dragon blowing fire at you, no kidding, we knew. But we appreciated the prophecies, you know, we're looking for some dragon slayers, you know. And so, anyway, so day three, I mean, the worship was so intense, all of a sudden, it was the stronghold broke. The stronghold broke, and I told the team, my team was so afraid every time I mentioned the fence on the porch, oh no, don't do, oh, you're going to bring warfare. So I told the team, go with the Chinese to the Holocaust Museum. Everybody go. I'm going to put the fence in. Don't worry about nothing. And so I call a Jewish fencing company. They come. I walk outside. I knew the stronghold was broken. I said, I want you to put my fence back, and everything that they tore out, I want to put back. And the Muslims gathered around the porch, and they said, please, Kerry, give us a peace truce. Give us a peace truce. I said, we give you peace. We unconditionally forgive you. And one of the most militant ones, he came in the church. I laid hands on him. I gave him a Bible. I just spoke to him again. He wants me to go to his wedding. And he was really the most militant one of all of them. But God has just given us total peace at Damascus Gate. And I want to tell you, they treat, because we didn't run away, they treat us with high, high honor. High honor. But I want to tell you, just hang in there. Some of you, you know, you fought. It's no time to bail out, because you got a breakthrough right in front of you. You got a breakthrough that's so big. You got a breakthrough that's unlike any breakthrough you've ever walked through. It's right in front of you. 2016 is a breakthrough year. It's an amazingly breakthrough year. Our finances were low. Someone walks in off the street, gives us $500,000. And it looked like, you know, like a beggar coming in off the street. You know what I mean? Even my team says, what are you letting this person stay in the staff house for? We don't know nothing about that person. I said, I just feel, you know, inside that they're a good person. I said, just go with it. I feel it's okay. And they said, but you're letting a stranger stay there. And the stranger turns around, gives us $500,000 for the ministry. Hallelujah. Take in strangers. Now, so then I say, all right, I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go to Africa and gather all the pastors in one place. So they gathered about 400 pastors together. I said, I want to start thanking these pastors that prayed for us for our tribulation. So could you show the 1 minute video, please? Number one. So I went to Africa. Yeah, it's okay. So we go into our Africa, and the team, okay, we anoint these pastors, and I end up in this slum. And I go into this slum, and this is just about a year ago to June right now. I go into this slum, and there's little houses burning. I said, why are these little houses burning? They said, the women are tying up their children and lighting them on fire. And they said, and then I was there around Christmas, and they shot one of the police officers through the eyes many, many, many times, Al-Shabaab. And so what happened is I ended up with one of the officers, and he takes me to his boss. And the most craziest thing happens. We sit down. He pulls out a map, and I begin to give him strategy how to fight the stronghold of terror. I said, everywhere Shabaab is working, if you will put in a feeding station, I says, you can beat this stronghold of terror. And I says, also, suicide. Take your poorest neighborhoods. So we began funding it. We've got 8 feeding stations feeding over 4,000 a month. This is for 1 year now. It's amazing how rapid it's moving. And so my last visit there, I was taken to the presidential security. I was different military bases. So I do this PowerPoint and I take it back to Israel. And so I was sitting a couple days ago with the Israeli army. I said, look, I said, the Shabaab is letting go. The stronghold is falling. Suicide's going down. Violence is going down. After 1 year, I said, the program's working. And the Israeli army said, well, if we go into the camp and I feed the poor and you start preaching, we're going to be the first two to die in Palestine. But they asked us, they said, if the old man who's running Palestine dies, he said, for sure the refugee camps are going to take over the West Bank. And they said, it's going to be bad news for Israel. So he asked me, he said, why don't you take the program to the Palestinians and start building up the PA? I said, you want us to build up the PA? He said, for the security of Israel. We need a plan. And he said, you bring those officers from Kenya to Israel. We will gather the PA and let's sit down and make a conference together. So many, many, many things are happening. I've worked with the Israeli army for years. They also asked us a couple days ago if we would go back into Gaza. Because we pulled out of Gaza, mainly because what happens is you need a diplomatic waiting for me. I always, tell them what's going on in Gaza or whatever. But getting through the Minister of Interior. So I told them, I'll go back to Gaza. You give me a diplomatic letter and I'll get a team that will go into Gaza and get the job done. But let me tell you what happened. The last Gaza operation, even though we weren't in the Gaza Strip, we were able to help Israel in a big way. And this war, the second war, happened after I was here at your church. So what happens is, one of Islamic Jihad, his name is Aladdin, he's born again. And he's one of ours. We flew him to Turkey. We've invested in this guy. And he is born again. So the Israeli tanks go into Gaza. They're sitting all around the Shajaya neighborhood. 5,000 from Islamic Jihad live in this neighborhood. So they're sitting there, and what happens is Aladdin calls, said, Mom, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. He says, our family, the Israeli tanks are here. I said, Aladdin, bring your immediate family and go to my apartment in Gaza. And he says, we don't have a key. I said, take the door off. So they end up bringing 30 from Islamic Jihad. Can you imagine walking in to a Christian neighborhood, into a Christian building to rip the door off? And my landlord was like, whoa, what's going on? I said, it's going to be all right. So they move into my apartment. The Christians end up loving it. It's the closest they'd ever been to Muslims. They were able to feed them, care for them. So what happens? All right. Hamas and Israel, they have peace. So they said, okay, we're going back to our neighborhood now. Well, about 3 days, 5 days later, they call me up and says, Mom, we got to get back in the apartment. And I thought, wait, what do you, and I thought to myself, maybe they're going to take over the apartment, you know. I said, what do you mean you're coming back to the apartment? And they said, yes. They said, all the families are moving from along the borders of Israel. Immediately, I knew that Hamas was about to bomb Israel and break the peace truce. So I was able to call the army. I said, Hamas is, the families are moving. And at 6 o'clock that night, they bombed Israel. After the operation, the soldiers called and said, we want to thank you for saving the lives of Israelis. Amen. So there's a lot of action, but I want to tell you, one of the guys I work with in Kenya, his name is Francis. He was a murderer, and I knew he was a murderer. Now I just now found out the stories about him. Francis killed 16 officers, and he was in the Kenya prison before Kenya became a democracy. In the old school, you would put your prisoners in the prison. You wanted to see how fast you could kill them, how fast you could break their will, because they would never be of any use to society. So he was sentenced to hang. And so the Lord found him in the prison. He read his Bible, getting ready to hang one day. And what happened is the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Francis, I'm going to let you out of here. I'm going to let you out of here, and you're going to work for me. And this is I got a prophecy for you tonight, because this is what's going on. So the Lord goes in there, does a supernatural miracle. They come up to Francis and said, Francis, you're released. In those days, before it was a democracy, if you had enough money, you could buy your way in, and a file would go missing. So he said, maybe they took the wrong file out, but he said, I got out free. And I said, no, the Lord told you he was going to take you out. So whatever happened, I said, it was the Lord. So he comes out, he's working in the refugee camp, and he's my manager. Someday I'm going to bring him to America, and I'd love to bring him to your church. This guy has so much love of God in him. He killed 16 officers. Feels like for him every single day to get up and know that he's been forgiven. He can't do enough for the Lord. Day and night, he's working for the Lord. I've never seen anybody like this before in my life. Just can't do enough for the Lord. Day and night, wanting to serve the Lord. And so Pastor Francis, he's in the slum. And what happens, he sees a police officer trying to rape a woman. He goes and he throws himself on the woman to protect her. And they shoot him. 3 times. Okay, so from the slum, he's taken to the morgue. And in the morgue, his wife is just crying and screaming, I want to see my husband. The police are in the morgue. They're doing something with his body. They let the wife into the morgue. She throws herself on that dead body. And when they get her off the body, his heart's moving. And they bring him back into ICU. 3 weeks he was unconscious, and then he came to. He was all around heaven while he was unconscious. So this man, he lives in a little two-room house about as big as this stage here. And let me tell you, he's got 13 people in his house, because women are in the slum trying to give away their babies. Trying to give away their babies because of starvation. Francis sleeps in a chair. So what happened is, we had all these conferences set up in Kenya, and I tell the two people working for me, you go preach. You go preach to the pastors. I'm going back to the slum. And let me tell you, I'm out there preaching. And I said, it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. Where you finish, people. It doesn't matter about yesterday. It doesn't matter about 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Jesus said, don't look back. What matters is where we finish. And I'm out there preaching, and a woman walks by. And I want to tell you what happens. She walks by. We get done preaching. We do an altar call. People are being saved. Some young man named Ernest. He was the first one in line. And he said, you know, I've been a drunk and I've been a drug addict, but today I'm giving my heart to Jesus. He goes home, tells all of his family about salvation. And so what happens is Hannah comes back to Pastor Francis, and she brings him the rat poison. She goes, I was going to kill myself, and I was going to kill my daughter today. She said, because my other daughter, I've lost to prostitution. But when I heard the woman preach, she said, I wanted to bring you back the poison. You know, something happened to me that day. I said, God, wow, that you could rescue one. That you could just rescue one of them drowning, and you pull them out of the water and they're holding a baby and you got two. I said, wow, give us more, God. Give us more. Right now, out of our feeding stations, three of them were those that were going to commit suicide. One man was going to kill his whole family. And they heard about the free food. And they come up and they confess their sin to Pastor Francis, give their heart to Jesus. And I said, wow, God, this is such a holy mission. I said, wow, that we can just reel in one, that we could just throw the net over one and get two. And so we're preaching away, and the guy Ernest, the first one in line that day, he goes home, and 5 hours later, he was electrocuted. But he had told his friends, give your life to Jesus. He told his parents, I'm a Christian now. And so all these young men, 25 to 35, all of his friends, all of a sudden they want us to come back, and they want us to tell them what happened. What happened? I said, Ernest is with the Lord. I says, Ernest, it's the mercy of God that Ernest got pulled off right in time, because God knew what was coming for Ernest. God knew what was going to happen. And I said, what about you men? They all gave their lives to Jesus. They all gave their lives to Jesus. Then they invited me back to pray over the casket. They had to take the casket to Kissimmee, which is out of town. But they said all the people gathered there a few nights later over the casket. And we were able to just preach to all of them. I said, your friend's blood is crying out. Give your lives to Jesus. And they're telling me they think the whole community's being saved over the one God took home. He's a resurrection Lord, people. He's a resurrection Lord. Now let me give you a prophecy. Amen? Amen. It is a season. It is amazing. I just want to, until the coming of the Lord, I want to preach the gospel. And if anybody is in here who hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ, tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. God knows what your heart looks like. And if you're not playing games with God, come on, get in. Get in. Because you don't know when you're going out. You just don't know. And this is the word. I got a prophetic word. In July 25th, 2014, ISIS blows up Jonah's tomb. Okay? The weird thing about it is ISIS doesn't kill anybody. They're just exterminating, trying to destroy every sign of Jonah. Every sign of Jonah. Get it out of the way. And so the Lord said to me, the sign of Jonah will surely be seen upon the earth. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? And so the Lord was showing me, when Jonah was swallowed by the whale, it says he in the word of God, in Jonah chapter 1, he said, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. That's Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. Out of Sheol, out of hell, I cried. Out of hell, I cried. Jonah, really, he knew God. He knew God, and he had wisdom. Because here he is in the belly of that fish, stinking fish guts. He's calling it hell. And he's praising God with thanksgiving. I'm going to look to the holy temple. I mean, he knew God. He knew God because he knew, I know that you know God when you tell me about a real rough spot you're in, when your world is collapsing, and you're telling me you're praising God. I know you know God. And he knew God. So he's praising God. So God has the fish vomit him out. And some of us have come to that point where we're like, wow, I just feel like I'm sitting here in a vomit pile. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God is blowing over the land. He's falling on his sons and daughters. I don't care if 30 years ago you were supposed to preach. 40 years ago you were supposed to be a missionary. God's going to use everybody. Everybody's being enlisted for the army of God. And the good news is the king never loses. The king never loses. Amen? And so what happens is, okay, so Jonah goes into the city and he begins to preach. And I want to tell you something. Could you imagine? It hasn't come yet, but I'm waiting on that day. You too, Pastor. Waiting on that day we can walk through a city and 100,000 come to Jesus. They repented. Jesus said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. That is an anointed word. So, and he didn't have a worship team. I don't even know if he had any intercessors. I don't even know if he spoke the language because they were the enemy of Israel. But he walked through in obedience, preaching the word of the Lord. And from the king to the oxen, the asses, everything repented in dust and ashes. And so, and Jonah was, God saw their works in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. And this is so many people and so many churches I go to. I love this church because it was all about life and doing things and reaching out and all these good reports. But some places that we're going, and not to speak against brothers or sisters, but it's such bad news. It's like, you know, Obama's the Antichrist. The United States is going to sink any minute. The holes are getting bigger. We're all going to be swallowed. It's all this bad news. And I want to tell you, Nineveh was a city of bad news. God was about to judge it. And look what God said. God saw their works. They turned from evil. And God relented from disaster. Prophets and intercessors. God relented in chapter 3, verse 10. God changed his mind. He relented from disaster. He relented because they turned from their evil ways. This gives us, we know how to pray. We know how to prophesy. Repentance. And so what happens is, God goes on in verse 10. The Lord said, you've had pity for the plant. We know the plant grew over his head, made shade, and then died. He said, now look what God said in verse 11. Should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons that don't know their right hand from their left, and the livestock? God has compassion. And I want to say to you, in Matthew 12, this is the word for you. Matthew 12, let's see. It says right here, verse 38. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he answered and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. No sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then he says, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. So will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Now look at this. This is the part God said, pay attention, people. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The Lord said, every one of you have a Nineveh. The Nineveh is either going to speak against you or for you. Every one of us have a Nineveh. It might be one person. It might be a neighbor you've talked to for 20 years. Might be somebody you know that's dying and nobody's told the word of God to. All of us have a responsibility. I believe every one of us have a Nineveh. And I said, whoa. And the Lord said, Nineveh will speak out against you. Go and take your Nineveh. Come on. He said, go into all the world. Make disciples of the nations. This is the season. You've been prepared. You're in a great church. You've been equipped. You've had beauty treatment, beauty treatment, beauty treatment. How many more beauty treatments do we need? Really? It's time to go and throw the net on Nineveh. It could be your neighbor, your workplace, your family. It's time. Look, the harvest fields are white. The harvest fields are white. I really felt like, you know, like a failure when I pulled out of Gaza. And then 2 days ago, the Israeli army says to me, "We, aren't you going back into Gaza?" They said, we don't want you to be killed. I said, you give me the diplomatic paper. And I says, I'll worry about being killed. I said, we'll go back into Gaza. There's a harvest field there. I have these, I could show you on my phone in Messenger. I have the most militant looking guys. If they walked in here, you'd call the police. That's how militant they look. And they took me out in the middle of an olive field. And I was alone out there with Bill. And he was afraid. I said, Bill, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And they took us out. And they opened the Bible and said, we want you to answer questions. And they sent me a message just a few days before the Israeli army told me to go back to Gaza. They sent me a message and said, we've doubled and we all want to join you. Can you bring me an oil horn? They said, we want you to put the oil on our head. We've studied what happened when David was anointed with a horn of oil. I said, I'm coming. Yeah, it's in my messenger. The harvest is ready. And I want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging you because I love you. Every one of you got a Nineveh. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Lord, when I stand that day in glory, I want Nineveh to clap their hands and says, we heard, we heard, we heard the good news. We heard the good news. I don't want them to cry out from hell and say she never came. She didn't come back. She was too busy. Holy and righteous Father, I pray right now tonight for a commissioning to be released upon this congregation. I thank you, Lord, from the least to the greatest, they are already throwing the net. They're out there in the streets, God. I thank you, Lord, there's some in this house that are going to rise forward and be intercessors, God. They're going to join. There's some of them sitting in this house. They're not quite sure where they belong, but I thank you, Lord, you have a place for them, God. You have a place for them. I thank you. You didn't create any mistakes, God. Person to a fat person, a black person, or a white person, God is calling you soldiers of Christ, soldiers of the cross. It's time to be on our feet and get the job done. It's time to come shoulder to shoulder and get the job done. The Spirit of God, every spiritual gift, when you go out there, I'm seeing so many miracles. And you're seeing miracles. Come on, it's the greatest season. It's the greatest season. Let's pray over you. Should we do an altar call? Come on, if you want to be a soldier of the cross, and tonight you want to get right with the Lord, you want to just come forward and we want to lay hands on you. And we want to ask the Lord to commission you. Come from the four winds, O breath of God. And blow through this sanctuary. Blow through these soldiers, God. Soldiers of the cross. It's time for us to be on our feet. The best is in front of us. We're pilgrims passing through. You're going to stand before God. And God's going to say, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. I'm not ashamed to be called your God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you. for this mother and father in the faith, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing that is all over them. And we thank you, Lord, that they can feel the power coming through, God. They feel it's a season of signs, wonders, and miracles, God. I thank you, Lord, for expanding the tent pegs, God. Expanding the tent pegs, God. For this will be a house of all nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see all nations. Wow. All nations, says the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. I see both of you riding on white horses, and you're carrying javelins. And the Lord said, I'm going to send you places you never dreamed you would go. You're going to sit with kings. God said, I've given you authority. I've given you authority. I've given you anointing to break the yoke. And God said, wow, wow. And I see the Lord singing over you. And right now, I see the Lord's, I see the Lord's robe coming over there, spreading his skirt over this sanctuary, over your, over both of you, over this house. Wow. And the Lord said, he's going to raise up so many laid down lovers in this house. So many crying out, crying out, crying out. And the Lord said, such a great wisdom is coming on you. Such a great wisdom, wisdom from above, that you will know exactly what the next move is, exactly what the next door is. God said, the rhythm of the Spirit is on this house. And the Lord said, you've made it happen for so many of my children. And the Lord said, and you've cried out, cried out, cried out, cried out for my children. And God said, I'm going to make it happen for your children. God said, watch and see what I do. Watch and see what I do. Behold, I make all things new, says the Spirit of the Lord. I make all things new, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I see before this year is over, I see you weeping, weeping before the Lord at what the Lord has done immediately around you. I see you speaking, and God sending everybody that you need to be raised up to be that voice, to be that voice in many, many, many nations. Hallelujah. And I thank you for the Media Mountain, God, the Media Mountain, God. And I thank you, Lord. We declare that you're the king on the Media Mountain. You're the king of the airway, God. And I thank you, you've rebuked the devourer, God. And I thank you, Lord, there's no mountain that you're not going to take, God, until the entire earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. And I thank you tonight for increase, God. Increase, increase, increase. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you will always, always have enough. Always. There's an anointing of wealth upon this house, upon you. And I see the gold and silver falling. And God said, the pots will never run out. You have so much work to do for the Lord. You'll never worry about the gold and silver, says the Spirit of the Lord.